Everybody, so let the church say,
praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise God. Good morning, everyone. Praise the Lord for a brand new day. Thank Him for all His mercies and His grace towards us. It's the first Sunday of the month of June, and God has brought us safely thus far. We are in the middle of the year, and it is God who has kept us until now. Through all that we have been through, His mercies are great towards us. And here we are this morning in His presence. We have come to worship Him. And I just ask that you have your mind centered on God today. He's here to bless us and to do us good. He's here to speak to our hearts and to help us to be better people for His kingdom. And so open up your hearts today and receive the blessings from the Lord. At this time, I'm going to invite our sister, Lord Dean Mills, to lead us in praise and worship.
Let us pray. God, the omnipotent one, the one who orchestrates all things in His power, the one who rules and reigns, there is none like You. Today we come before You believing You for things we don't have the intellect to articulate, for the things we can't express. We come to You looking for answers to the questions that fall as tears. For the questions that come out as groans, God, we need You today. We need You in our lives, in our hearts, like never before. So today I pray that You will give us liberty, that You would give us comfort and the peace that passes all understanding. I pray that through our worship, You will show up today in a supernatural way and speak specifically to our situations. You know our wants, our needs, our struggles. You know what is going on in this world right now. So in the mighty name of Jesus, I ask that God, You do only what You can do. I thank You for what You already decided to do today. I pray we will not be the same. And you know, in Your word, God, it says that we should not be anxious for nothing, but in prayer and supplication, make our requests known to You. So today we hand over our burdens, and we ask that You take full control. Have Your way, God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 We thank You, God.
We say yes, God, to Your will and Your way. We ask You to take control of our lives this morning, Jesus. Hallelujah. There is none like You, God. None like You, Jesus. You are in control. You rule and You reign, God. And we just say yes. We give You our yes. And I'll just say yes. You lead the way. And I'm not afraid of what it means for me to say. And that this life You gave is not my own. And I'm trusting You to hear my yes and lead me home. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, my life is Yours, and I'll just say yes, You lead the way, and I'm not afraid of what it means for me to say. There's a life you gave, and it's not my own. And I'm trusting You to hear my yes and lead me on. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, my life is Yours. Yes. Yeah.
Thank you, Sister Rodine. Thank you so much for that beautiful song of consecration. Yes, Lord, my life is yours. Praise the name of Jesus. At this time, we are going to continue praising the Lord. We are going to sing this hymn, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven. To his feet thy tribute bring, ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. Who like thee his praise shall sing? Praise him, praise him. Praise the everlasting King. Praise God. We are praising God for all that he means to us. We cannot praise him enough. And so whatever opportunity we get to praise him, we should praise our King. Praise the Lord. Praise my soul, the King of heaven, to his feet thy tribute bring. Ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven, who like thee his praise shall sing. Praise him, praise him, praise him, praise him, praise the everlasting King. Praise him for his grace and favor to our fathers in distress. Praise him still the same as ever, Lord to chide and Smith to bless. Praise him, praise him, praise him, praise him, glorious in his faithfulness. Father, like he comes and spares us, well our feeble frame in his hands he gently bears us, rescues us from all our foes. Praise him, praise him, praise him, praise him, widely as his mercy flows. Angels help us to adore him. We behold him face to face. Sun and moon bow down before him. Dwellers all in time and space. Praise him, praise him, praise him, praise him, praise with us the God of grace. Praise the Lord. Praise God. At this time, we're going to have our scripture reading. It comes to us from Psalm 84. And I'm going to invite Sister Marcia Dennison to lead us in this reading.
Praise the Lord. Praise God.
Praise God. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Psalm 84, may these words be a blessing to your heart. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They shall be still praising thee. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them. Who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good things will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. 12 and last, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusted in thee. This is the word of the Lord. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Sister Marcia. Thank you for the reading of this beautiful psalm. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Praise God. And this time I'm going to invite our Dr. Nadine Lindsay to come with the welcome and the announcement.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our Sunday service. It is Communion Sunday, and we invite the presence of the Lord in our midst today. Greetings to Pastor Alvin Newton, Reverend Bardwell, and all the leaders. Brother David and Sister Lloyd Dean, thanks for representing the HCC band and the praise and worship teams, respectively. Greetings to everyone who came to worship today. This would not be possible without you, and we appreciate your presence. If there are any first-time visitors, a very special welcome to you all. Please continue to pray for those who are sick and shut in. Kindly keep the candidates for baptism in your prayers. And we're reminding you to click on the link for information regarding dates and times for prayer meetings and all upcoming activities. Happy birthday to Brother Osmond Elliston, who will be celebrating his birthday this coming Wednesday. Happy birthday also to all who celebrated their birthday this past week. And I have a brief word from the wellness team. Behavioral changes. This week is living proof that there is a cultural shift in the air. And as we go through this transformational period, I'm encouraging us to rise up and lift up our families as well. Fall full where some of our parents and guardians fell short. Equipping your kids with self-confidence is one of the best gifts you can give as a parent. Speak with, not at your children and each other. Be proud of your families, faults and all, and let them know that you're proud of them. Judge yourself first. Sometimes the problem is you. Stop putting down your brothers and sisters and children and friends. Be positive. Speak to your children about when they attend college and not if they attend college. And if they end up doing something else, encourage them to be their best selves. Pray with your children and your family. Talk about the uncompromised time for God. Be a living example for your family. Mothers or fathers, don't settle into an abusive relationship with your children watching. Then tell them later how bad they are because they're abusive or they accept abuse. Apologize to them. Don't sell yourselves short. Yes, you can do better. Listen to your kids and don't do all the talking. They have something to say. Let go of your adult children. It's not about you. They need to live their lives, their dreams, not yours. Be honest and don't pretend to be perfect. Let your children develop their voices. Be a shoulder for them. My brethren, self-confidence is everything. We're destined to do great things. It's not about her or him or them over there. It's you too. We're black and we're beautiful. Look into the mirror. Go on, take a look and see for yourselves. Empower yourselves and your kids to push past ordinary and strive to become an extraordinary person. Dare to dream big. Yes, you can. And before I go, I just wanted to give a shout out to our sister Nicola Jenkins, who celebrated her birthday yesterday. I missed her. Happy birthday to all of you who celebrated this week and the week to come. May God continue to guide and protect us all. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Sister Nadine. Dr. Nadine Lindsay, trying to get used to her new title. Praise God. Praise God for you, and praise God for the tips that you have given to us. They are really needed, and I just pray that we take them in and do accordingly. Praise the Lord. At this time, we're going to move on to our offering. And as you know, we pray a blessing on the offering that you will be giving to the church by through the different mediums. And I'm going to ask our sister Shirley Odom to come at this time. Deaconess Odom to come and pray the blessing on this morning's tithes and offering.
Praise God, praise God. Good morning. Our Father God, we give you thanks this morning for your people. We thank you, O Lord God, for your blessing that you have bestowed upon us. Father God, this morning I just want to thank you, O God, for this new day that you have given us, O God. I thank you, Lord God, for those who still have a job and able to go out and to bring back a portion. I give you thanks. I thank you, O God, for those who stretch forth their hands and for those who did not have what to give. But God, I pray that you will bless them always. Father, in the name of Jesus, I put this offering and tithes before you right now, Lord God. And I ask your blessing upon it, O God. I ask you, Father God, that it will do your work here on earth. Father God, I thank you, I praise you, and I adore you. Amen. Praise be to God.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Odom. Praise the Lord. Well, this morning we're going to have a special selection by our evangelist Newville. Thank the Lord for her. Thank the Lord that she's able to serve, to be a part of our services. We are so glad to hear your voice, Sister Newville. And at this time, I'm going to ask you to present your special item. May your souls be blessed as she sings to us.
Praise God. Praise God. To all the members of the family of God and friends, peace be unto you. Praise God. I hope this song this morning, the words will encourage your heart as you wait on the Lord. Praise God. Sunshine comes and sunshine goes, then shadows lengthen. Darkness filled the night with mystery and care. But within my heart, a gentle voice reminds me, fear no evil, Jesus said, I'll be there. Life is like a mighty sea, so tossed and driven. Billows rise within the heart of every man. Storms so many times will leave the heart with questions. I don't need it to understand, just hold his hand. You don't need to understand, you just need to hold his hand. You don't ever need to ask the reason why, for I know he'll make a way through the night and through the day. You don't need to understand, you just need to hold his hand. When your life don't hear is true, and Jesus calls you to your home up there beyond a golden shore, then you look back, review the path that lay before you. Then you won't need to understand anymore. So you don't need to understand, you just need to hold his hand. You don't ever need to ask the reason why, for I know he'll make a way through the night and through the day. You don't need to understand, you just need to hold his hand. Well, you don't need to understand, you just need to hold his hand. You don't ever need to ask the reason why, for I know he'll make a way through the night and through the day. You don't need to understand. You just need to hold his hand. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you for that song of encouragement, Evangelist Newville. We don't need to understand. We just need to hold his hand. You know, many times we are filled with questions. Why? Many times we will not even be able to find the answers. But the song is encouraging us this morning that don't worry about it. You don't have to have all the answers. Hold the hands of the one who has all the answers. So we don't need to understand. We just need to hold his hand. Praise the name of Jesus. At this time, it gives me great pleasure to call on our pastor, Pastor Alvin Newton, to come and to take over the rest of the service. We are so thankful to the Lord for him. Thank the Lord for touching his body and for giving him the strength to be here another day. We don't take it for granted. Each day is a blessing. And each day with him being around to lead us is a blessing. And so at this time, I'm going to call on Pastor to come and to take over the rest of the service. Pastor Newton.
Thank you very much, Evangelist Badawil, and good morning to everybody. It's good to be in the presence of the Lord another Sunday when we seek to worship him according to his word. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must do so in spirit and in truth. We want to give God thanks that he has spared our lives, that we can come together to worship. Whether we are member of the church or we are just visitors online, how we want to give God thanks because of his goodness, his grace, and his mercy. So this morning we look to him from whence cometh our help. We thank God that he has been caring for us in spite of all that has happened and is happening through the past couple of days. We are glad that God is still on the throne and he cares for his own. So we want to give him thanks today for he is good. For his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. So let us pause
as we seek to give God thanks today for his grace, for his mercies, for his protection, and for his provision. Father in heaven, it is in your name that we come at this moment. We thank you, Lord, for who you are. You are the God of all ages. You are God that cares. You are God that looks beyond our faith. You saw our need. Not only do you see our needs, but you are the one that can supply them according to your riches in glory. So this morning, Holy Father, we come to you. We ask, O Lord, that as we shall look into your words, that you will make your words applicable to our lives, that as we go throughout this day, throughout our lives, we will seek to honor you, to glorify your name. Thank you, Lord, for your protection and your provision over the past days, and you have allowed us to come together. We ask, O Lord, that you will have full control of everything. As we wait upon you, we give you thanks in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Again, let me welcome everybody, members, visitors, friends, well-wishers. It's good to have you. It's good to have you. Although we have not been together physically, yet in spirit and in our hearts, we are together. And we ought to give God thanks for that, for he is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. I hope that as we go through today, the word that I have for us will mean much to us, that we will be blessed, will be encouraged to serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with him, knowing that he is God. It is he who hath made us, and not we ourselves. Last week, I spoke to you on the topic, a delighted desire, according to what the psalmist David wrote in Psalm 37 in verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. That's Psalm 37, verse 4. Today I want to follow up, as it were, with that word, and the text that I want to use today is really similar to last week. The difference is, what is the desire of your heart? What is the desire of your heart? And sometimes we say these verses, we quote these verses, and if we are not careful, they are just like cliches, and we don't think upon what we are saying when we quote these scriptures. Like we said, delight ourselves, God will give us the desire of our heart. But we don't think of the conditions which are to be met. We don't think of adhering to what is required of us. So when we don't succeed, we tend to blame God, that God doesn't care, God doesn't answer our prayers. But let me say to us today, that to every request that we would make to God, there is a requirement. And if we are not prepared to meet those requirements, then our asking won't be successful. We will be asking in vain. So let us not just say these scriptures, oh, God shall supply my needs according to his riches in glory. But we must understand why these scriptures are written, and the requirements and the consequences that are to be met, so that we can claim these promises or claim all of it. So as I said, today I want to follow on the text of last week. And the question is, what is the desire of your heart? What is the desire of your heart? Does it align with what God wants for you? How beneficial is it to you and to others? Because as I said last week, and I repeat again this week, that I believe that a delighted desire for me is that which I should also desire for my brethren. It's not just I desire and I want this for myself and I need it for myself. So we must examine ourselves whenever we go to God and make our requests known unto him, and according to what the word says, that we should commit our ways unto him, and we should trust also in him, and we should delight in him. So there are requirements in getting our heart's desire. So I go today to one of my favorite writers of the scripture, the Apostle Paul, and hear what Paul has to say. In Romans chapter 10, and verses 1 and 2, hear what it says. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Again, as I said, the things that we desire for ourselves, we should also desire for our brethren. And this is what Paul is saying here. He says, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Why? For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Romans chapter 10, verses 1 to 2. Paul says, I am desiring, or my heart's desire is that Israel might be saved. For I bear in record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. And what Paul was saying here, this is not a knowledge. Because they had that. But it is an experiential knowledge, one that does not seek to be conformed, but one that seeks to be transformed. So we can always quote the scriptures, but are we willing to conform or be transformed by these scriptures so that we can enjoy the benefits when we said God promised to grant us the desire of our hearts? So not just a head knowledge, but some knowledge that we have experienced, that we can say, yes, I have experienced what it is to trust in God. I don't just read about Him, I just don't hear about Him, but I have a knowledge, an experience of Him changing my life, giving me a different outlook on life. And I want to say that I think that when Paul had this desire, when he expressed this desire, it was a genuine desire. A genuine desire. Again, he says, brethren, my heart, desire, and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Why? For I bear them record. When I look at their lifestyle, what they are doing, what they are saying, it's just a zeal that they have, but there's a lack of knowledge. I want us today, my brothers, my sisters, my friends who are listening today, not to just have a knowledge, a head knowledge of God, a hearsay knowledge of God, but one that you have experienced. You have experienced His saving grace. You have experienced His forgiveness. You have experienced what it is to really trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean to your own understanding. So Paul says, when I look at my countrymen, when I look at my fellow Israelites, Jews, I have a desire for their hearts to be changed, not just for them to have a head knowledge, but to experience what it is to be a true child of God. There cannot be any doubt as to his standing as an apostle. So what did Paul desire for himself? Yes, is the desire that he has for Israel. And it was a genuine desire. But what about he himself? What desire or desires did Paul have? As I said, there can be no doubt as to his standing as an apostle, having not seen Jesus in the flesh as others. But his conversion speaks for itself. You remember when as according to Acts 9, when Jesus met him when he was on his way to persecute the Christian, and God changed his life, and God sent him on a different mission. So what was the desire that he had? Let me call our attention to a few of his expressed desires, as recorded in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, and we are looking at from verse 1 to verse 16. Let us examine a few of the desires that Paul had. And I'm sure that when we look at them prayerfully, when we see what he desired for himself, that's something that we too would want to desire for ourselves as Christians. So hear what it says. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed, it is not grievous, but for you, it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the circumcision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. I was circumcised on the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, an Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning the persecuting the church. Touching the righteousness which is of the law, I am blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ, yea, doubtless. And I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Verse number 9, and verses 9 and 10 is where I want to place our main focus. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Verse number 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even the same unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. As I said, I want us to look at a few of Paul's desire of his heart. And verse number 10, which is the text verse of the passage, I want to call our attention to four desires that Paul had, that he expressed in this one verse. And I would name them as hunger, the four hunger that Paul had, that he expressed in this verse, that he expressed that he needed, that he expressed that it is his heart's desire. So I look at them and I labeled them the four hungered desire of Paul. Number one, it says that he had a hunger for greater intimacy with God. So he says, that I may know him. One of the things that we try to do, whether it's our children, our spouses, or our friends, we try to know as much as possible about each other as we can. Because we feel that if I know how, or if I know many things about my friends, my wife, my husband, my children, I will know how to better relate with them. So Paul says, I have a hunger, a greater intimacy. Not that I don't know him, but I have a greater hunger of intimacy. I want to be closer to him. So he wanted, or he had a desire of a righteousness that would create a hunger for greater intimacy. So he says, to know him in all his fullness. That's number one. He had a hunger for a greater intimacy with Christ. Number two, Paul had a hunger to be ignited with the power of his resurrection. So he says, that I might know him, that's a hunger for intimacy, and the power of his resurrection, that's a hunger to be ignited with the power of his resurrection. And you would think that Paul would be quite satisfied with the person that he was. There was, as it were, no lack of power where Paul was concerned. But when he examined his life and when he looked at the life of Jesus, though he had not seen him in the flesh, but because of the awareness that he had of him, he said, I want to have a closer relationship and with a fellowship, the hunger to be ignited with the power of his resurrection. As I said, Paul was really on his way. He was already endued with power. As we witness examples of him in Acts chapter 16, from verse 16 to 18. This was the man that had a lot of power, as is recorded, as I said, in Acts chapter 16, if I could just quickly turn to it, Acts 16, verse 16 to 18. Hear what the scripture says. Just a minute. Right. And it came to pass, as he went to prayer, a certain damsel, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. So he had power. He had authority. There was no lack where that is concerned. But no, he was not satisfied. So he said that not only do I want to know him, but I want the power of his resurrection to be manifested in my life. So he had one, hunger for greater intimacy. Two, hunger to be ignited with the power of his resurrection. So we see Paul exhibiting power that God has given to him. So when he spoke to the demon who thought that he was doing the right thing, and Paul rebuked him because of the power that he had. So there was no lack where that is concerned. But where Paul was concerned, he was not satisfied with that. He said, I want to be ignited. I have an hunger to be ignited with the power of his resurrection. One more example, and I go to the next. So here is Paul again, exhibiting the power that he had. Acts 19, reading from verse 11. And you will see that Paul was no ordinary apostle. He was no ordinary person. And if we were in his position at that time, maybe we would be quite satisfied the way God has been using us, or used us, but not Paul. He said that I have an hunger to be ignited with the power of his resurrection. So Acts 19, reading from verse 11. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick and crutches or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirit went out of them. That's the power that Paul had before he even talked about being ignited with the power of the Jesus Christ's resurrection. Oh, my brothers, my sisters, my friends, I wish that we will be at the place where we are not satisfied, but that we will continually seek to be ignited by the power of the resurrected Lord. So one would think that he would be quite satisfied, be content. But no, Paul was not content with what he was able to do by the power of God in his life. So he went on and he says, what else did he say? Not only to know him and the power of his resurrection, but the fellowship of his suffering. No, that's not where we want to be. We don't like when it comes to suffering. We think that as Christians, we should not go through anything, but we should live, as it were, a life free from temptation, from testing, from trials, and from all sufferings. But Paul says, I have an hunger to be identified with Christ's sufferings, to be identified, a hunger to be identified with Christ's suffering. What does that mean? He did not see suffering with Christ as something to be afraid of or to be ashamed of, but he wants to be identified. He has an hunger to be identified with the sufferings of Christ Jesus. None of us are going about and say, Lord, I need suffering. I need to suffer because I love you. But Paul says, I have a hunger to be identified with Christ's suffering. Whatever Jesus Christ went through for me, I don't mind going through for it. You see, Jesus suffered so that men can be saved. Paul says, I am willing to suffer that men would hear the gospel. So I want to be in a position where I can be identified with the suffering of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the final hunger that Paul had, he says, hunger for Christ's death to be implemented in his own life. Oh, my brothers, my sisters, my friends, oh, that we would see the hunger that Paul had, and that we would examine our own selves in the light of what he wrote to the Philippians. He said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. The death that Jesus Christ experienced on the cross, Paul said, I want to be identified. I have a hunger for Christ's death to be implemented in my life. In my life. No wonder he wasn't satisfied with that. But as time goes on, we have seen so many things that happened to Paul. The trials, the testing, the shipwrecks, the stoning, and all of those things that he had gone through. Yet he said, I want to be identified. I want the death of Christ to be implemented in my life. I am sure, my brothers and my sisters, my friends, if we would just take time out to examine our daily lives, we would see that we come short, way short, of what it takes to be really, really committed to Christ. That we are not prepared to go through certain things. For the scripture says, he that will live godly in this world will what? Suffer persecution. Will go through persecution. But we are not willing for that. We are willing to say, well, Lord, you saved me. That means I should not go through anything. I should have life much easier. Not so with Paul. Paul said, I have a hunger for Christ's death to be implemented in me, in my life. And no wonder at the end he could say, as he wrote to the Galatians, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Hear what Paul said. I am living a life, not of my own, but I am living the life that the Son of God has manifested in me. Because I have a hunger for Christ's death to be implemented in my life. Therefore, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I am living now. Yet, it is not I, but it is Christ that liveth in me. Are we at the place where we can say without any contradiction, any doubt, that the life that we are now living as Christians, we are living, but it is not us, but it is the Christ that lives in us. And the life which I now live in the flesh, not to please my flesh, not to please others or the things around me, but I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I hope and I pray that we will have such a hunger for Christ, such a hunger for Christ, to be intimate with him, to be closer, drawn to him. As the songwriter says, I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice and you told thy love to me, but I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. That is having a hunger for a greater intimacy with Christ. Hunger to be ignited with the power of his resurrection, so that when the evil forces come upon us, when they come to destroy us, they will stumble and they will fall. Why? Because we have been ignited with the power of Christ's resurrection. Oh, my brothers, my sisters, my friends, can you have that hunger to be identified with Christ's suffering? Are you willing? Are we willing to be hunger so much that we desire to be identified with Christ's sufferings? Hunger for Christ's death to be implemented in our lives, as far as just said. Just as old Christ gave his life to bring salvation to lost souls, he was willing to give his life for the gospel to be brought to the lost and dying. No wonder in Romans he said, I am not afraid, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation. These were not just wishful thinking on the part of God. These were genuine desires that he wanted to attain. And so, my brothers, my sisters, these are within our grasp if we would seek for them as Paul did. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly according to the psalm. As I said last week, the psalmist said, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he will give us the desires of our heart. Will you look at yourself? Will you look at the life that you are living? Can you say, as Paul said to the Galatians, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. No wonder Paul was such a dynamic person. Paul was such an outstanding servant of God, though he at first persecuted the church. But when God changed his life, he was sold out to self, and he was sold unto Christ for what Christ would do in his life. As I said, these things that Paul had, the desires that he had, hunger for greater intimacy, hunger to be ignited with the power of his resurrection, hunger to be identified with Christ's suffering, and finally, hunger for Christ's death to be implemented in his own life. Listen to what he says again in the verse that I present to us, verse number 10 of Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 10. It says that I may know him. Know him. How? In the power of his resurrection. By the fellowship of his sufferings. Being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. If I am going to be resurrected on the last day, I have a hunger for closer intimacy with him. I have a hunger to be identified, to be ignited with the power of his resurrection. I have a hunger to be identified with his suffering. And I have a hunger for Christ's death to be implemented in my life. If we have such a hunger today, the scripture says that blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. That's what Matthew 5 and verse 6 says. So my brothers, my sisters, as we look at our lives today, don't be afraid to have such hunger, such desire as Paul had. For we know that when we have such desire, God will grant us the desires of our hearts. But we must be willing to meet the conditions that are set forth. We must be willing to say that I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. I am quite sure that Paul had the desires, his desires met. So in his closing, when he wrote to Timothy, his closing, as it were, he said, for he says, for I am now ready, according to 2 Timothy 4, verse 6, I am now ready to be offered up, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love is appearing. Do you think that if your time come now and you will be making your final pronouncement, as Paul said when he knew that shortly he would be crucified, that I am now ready to be offered and the time of my departure is at hand? Can we truthfully say we have fought a good fight? We have finished the course. That means the work assigned us. So when he said in Philippians 4 and verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, what he was saying, that whatever God has assigned to him to do, he is able to do it because he has provided the wherewithal that he can do it. Oh, my brothers, my sisters, may we all have that craving, that hunger that Paul had. And so at the end, we will be able to say with all surety, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And I'm looking forward to the crown that shall be given me, crown of righteousness, which the Lord shall give me at that day, and not only to me, but unto all them also that love is appearing. I ask for you today, my brothers, my sisters, to consider the word that you have heard. The word that you have heard. And may we look at ourselves to see where we are when it comes to God, the type of person we are, the life that we are living, whether we are living a life that pleases God. As the psalmist David said last week, and I repeat again this week, he says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Today I'm asking, what are your desires? What do you desire? I have pointed out four things that Paul desired, and I have no doubt that his desires were fulfilled. That's why in the end, he could have such a powerful closing testimony. Will you seek to have that greater intimacy with Christ? Will you seek to be filled with the power of his resurrection? Will you seek to be identified with his sufferings? Will you seek to be identified with his death? And I'm sure that if we have such hunger, such thirsting, the Bible says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. I would ask at this moment that we would pause and think on the things which we have heard. Yes, we are not in the sanctuary. No one is watching you, which is good, except Christ. No one is seeing you, what you are doing. No one knows your heart's desire but Christ and you alone. And so I would ask today, saved or unsaved Christians, non-Christians, those who have joined us maybe today for the first time and are not sure of what happened, I say today, if you would seek the Lord while he may be found, you call upon him while he is near. Isaiah said, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thought. Let him turn unto God, for he will have mercy, and he will abundantly pardon. So if you have not committed your life to Christ, this would be a good day for you to say, Lord, I need the change. I don't understand what the minister said about the things that Paul had, the hunger that Paul had, hunger for a greater intimacy. I don't understand. I want you to explain that to me, Lord. I don't understand what it is to be ignited with the power of your resurrection, but I am committing myself to you. I don't know what it is to be hunger to be ignited with your suffering. You know, Lord. I don't know what it is for Christ's death to be implemented in my life. You know me. You see me. And so I'm coming to you today. I'm asking, Lord, that as you have spoken to me through your word, that you would make it plain to me. For you said, ask, and it shall be given. Seek, I will find. Knock, and the door will be opened unto me. I'm knocking. I'm seeking. I'm asking. Lord, I pray that you will grant the desire of my heart today. Save or unsave, whatever your desire, is today, God said he will grant it if we delight ourselves in him. If we show that hungering, that thirsting after his righteousness, God said, you will be filled. So as I pray you would ask the Lord to change your life, change you to be a different person from this day forth. And you will grow to understand and to know what it is that Paul spoke about when he wrote to the Philippians, expressing his hunger, these four hungers. Know him in the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings. May it conform unto his death, that I might attain unto the resurrection of his life. There is a resurrection coming. When the Lord will return, Scripture says, those that have died in the Lord will be caught up to meet him. Those that remain alive as long as we trust in the Lord will also be caught up to meet him. Will you be among those at this resurrection day? Our Father in heaven, thank you for today. Thank you, Lord, that I was able to deliver the word. I pray that, Lord, there was understanding, there was clarity, that people understand what it is to be having a closer relationship with you, to be ignited, to be filled with the power of your spirit. Lord, to be identified that when as a Christian I am suffering, I know that I am suffering for the right reason. You have been through it so that I can go through it. Lord, that I would be identified with your death and your resurrection. I ask, Holy Father, that as you speak today, that each and everyone who have listened to your words will make that commitment to you, to trust you, to seek for you with all their hearts. Your word says, when we have sought you with all our heart, then we will find you. You are not far away. You are near, and you want to make changes in your life. So we commit ourselves to you today. Holy Father, continue to speak to us. May this day be long remembered as the day when we seek to be identified, when we seek to hunger for these four things that Paul said to the Philippians. God, we know that you are willing and you are able to do it. So we ask and we commit everything into your hands. With thanksgiving, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let us prepare ourselves to observe the Lord's Supper. And this is a very, very important celebration in the Church of Christ. Jesus gave to the disciples or the apostles this final charge when he served supper before he was crucified. And so we are on good grounds when we take time out to celebrate, to observe the Lord's Supper, because Christ has implemented it, and us, that as Christians, as believers, we also observe the Lord's Supper. So right where you are, I hope you are prepared so that we can participate in this service as we observe the Lord's Supper. I pray that your hearts will be blessed as we go forward. I'm going to read a portion from Paul's writing to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also, he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show forth the Lord's death till he come. Therefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, we come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that he come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come to you. What is that Paul is saying to the Corinthians? This is an observance. This is an something that must be observed by each and every one that has been delivered, has been set free. And he set out conditions under which we should observe this Lord's Supper. So as we look into ourselves, well, he says that if we would examine ourselves, then we would not be condemned. You know what the relationship like that you have with Christ, with your brothers, with your sisters. I pray today that as we look forward to this supper, that you will examine yourselves and be free to participate of this observance with us as we wait upon God. For it reaches to the highest mountain and it flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus, oh, the blood of Jesus, it washes white as snow. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It was his white as snow. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And is just the same as his lovely name. That's the reason why I love him so. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. My beloved brothers and sisters, I would ask now that you would take that body, whatever it is, a biscuit or bread, that represents the broken body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that you would lift it up in your hand as we give God thanks for it, signifying that we are participating in this very important aspect of the service, partaking of the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father in heaven, I present these emblems to you. The bread represents your body. The wine represents your shed blood. Lord, you said, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. You said you was wounded for our transgression, you were bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon you. By your stripes we are healed. You receive the stripes so that we will receive again. So, Lord, bless these emblems as we partake of them today, signifying our commitment to you as our Lord, our Savior, our Deliverer. This bread represents the broken body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He said, as often as you eat this bread, you do show forth his death until he returns. So, my beloved brothers and sisters, friends, eat, 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 and your soul shall live. Eat ye all of it. This cup represents the shed blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He said, as often as you drink of this cup, we show forth his death until he comes. So my beloved brothers, my sisters, my friends, drink, 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 and your soul shall live. Drink ye all of it. I love him. I love him because he first loved me and purchased my salvation on Calvary. I love him. I love him because he first loved me and purchased my salvation on Mount Calvary. Brothers and sisters, friends, thank you for participating in this service today. I trust and I hope that the service was a blessing to you. You've been challenged to make a full and total commitment to Christ so that at the end you can say, as Paul said, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. God, through his Son, wants to abide with us. As Jesus said in John, abide with me. Even as I abide in you, so that we'll be able to bring forth fruit, fruit that will remain. So as we come to the close today of this service, let us reflect on what we have heard. And may our hearts be challenged to go forward with him as Savior, as Lord. Anticipating the day when he shall come with trumpet sounds. May we in him be found, clothed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before his throne. What a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. We will sing. We will shout the victory. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for today. Thank you for the service. Thank you for those who have listened. And I pray, Lord, that our hearts will be challenged, will be blessed, will be committed to serving you in spirit and in truth. As we bring this service to its close, Lord, I pray your blessing upon each and every one. Lord, that your power will be upon us. And have your own way, now, Father, as we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Before I pronounce the benediction, hope that you are still with me. We have witnessed and we have seen the happenings over the past days, what is happening in the country. And you might be saying, what is the church doing? What is the church saying about what is happening? I was speaking to the board and we will make a formal statement, but I just want to say at the outset that whatever is happening needs to happen. And as an individual, I am in 100% support of the demonstration of the marches. I am not in support of those who are killing and maiming others, who are destroying properties. That's not what this is about. This is about something far greater than that. We can't be looting and burning down our community and then we complain that nothing is being done. So we will hear from the church what the church stands for, where the church stands in a time like this, because we need for the voice of the church to be heard. So you will hear from us, but at the same time, if you are participating in marches or demonstration, do so in an orderly manner. And if you see somebody destroying other people's property or so forth, discourage them from doing that. Because we need to be in this together. We are all in this together. And we need to let our voices heard, not through destruction and maiming of other people, but be peaceful, be orderly. And so I said, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace, both now and forever. Amen. God bless you. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for sharing in this service. May you have a blessed rest of the day and week. God bless you. Thank you very much.